want to truly stand against the tools the world is throwing at us, that we need to know the Word of God. So today our thought about the Word is that the Word of God is reliable. And that comes from Psalm 119, verses 89 through 91, which read as follows, Lamed, which is a letter of the alphabet, that every single one of the next seven passages in this section of Psalm 119 starts with. If you can imagine trying to write a poem, and on that poem, every stanza started with the same letter for seven stanzas in a row. That's what's going on here, so Lamed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the word, the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinance, for all are thy servants. God has put his word here to continue to encourage our hearts and to continue to keep us in an attitude of a servant, which is the subject that we speak of this morning as we're in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. The question of the day is going to have to be, has Jesus washed your feet? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? John 13, verses 1 through 11 read as following. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands, my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to say to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not clean. So far in the book of John, we heard his hour had not yet come. We've seen that phrase repeated several times, talking about not necessarily a function of time, but a event in life, okay? And for everything, there is a season. There was going to be a season, and this was now, Jesus was entering into that season where he would be betrayed. There could no longer avoid it. There was no longer sidestepping it. There was no longer him able to miss it. Now it was time, and he was going to embrace it with all his heart. So his hour had come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Isn't it interesting that at that moment, when he's gathered around with his disciples, we're now in a room. They're getting ready to celebrate the Passover feast. And here, Jesus is reflecting on the time has come. You, the people that I love. And if you can just imagine Jesus coming up and just saying, you know, Joe, my hour has come. I'm going to leave. I'm going to depart. I'm not going to be with you anymore. It's time. I no longer have control over it. Are you willing to consider that? And so his hour had come that he must go to his Father. He had something greater that was coming, but yet you sense in here that his heart was still yearning. His heart was still kind of burdened for his disciples, those that he had spent 3 years with, those that he had walked with and talked with and dined with and slept with and everything else. For the last 3 years, they had been close companions, side by side, through miracle, through pressing crowds, through times alone. They were there. You ever gone to a conference or a camp and spent time with people, and then all of a sudden it comes time to leave? That's where Jesus was at. Maybe you went to a family gathering and you had all that time together with family, and then it was time to say goodbye. I can remember we used to have family dinners at our place when we were in Hawaii, and Bev's family is rather large. We would have about 30 people in our home, and it would come time to leave. And when we went to their places, the same thing would happen, but everybody started, you started an hour before you wanted to leave because you knew it was going to be hard to say goodbye to everybody. Here's Jesus getting ready to say goodbye to those that he had been closest with. And he said he had loving his own in the world, he loved them unto the end. There was no end. He all the way to the point of dying on the cross, he loved them. Even after he died on the cross, he still loved them. You see, he came back and visited them, didn't he? And it says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Do you notice that the details that John is grasping at? John tells the upper room story so different than any of the other three Gospels. The other three Gospels, they focus on the bread and the wine, the offering, the dinner. But here he's focusing on what did Jesus want to give to his disciples when he was getting ready to leave. He's already said, I know my time's come. It's time for me to leave. So it's kind of like, okay, here's some last minute instructions. I want to make sure you got this straight now. We've been together for 3 years, but here's some last minute instructions. And oh, there he goes. There's Judas. Still in the room, but he knows at this point that the devil, deceit, lies, and trickery had entered into his heart. He had determined in his heart that he was going to give Jesus up for sacrifice. And yet Jesus doesn't shun him. Jesus doesn't chase him out of the room. Jesus includes him in the entire activity that we're about to behold. And it goes on and says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. Okay, so see, here Jesus. Judas is filled with the devil and going to turn him over. He has that anxiety in his heart. Okay, no escaping it now. But, you know, I know I'm not limited to this physical body. I know I'm not limited to this physical world. I'm still an almighty God. God the Father is still directing this scenario. He has it under control. Despite what Judas thinks, he's still a puppet like Nebuchadnezzar was, like we've been talking about in Sunday school, in the hand of God to be used. And so, having assured himself of all that God was about to do, it says, he riseth from supper, he laid aside his garment, and took up a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Can you imagine? And I actually thought about doing this. Me going up here, taking off my shirt and being in just a t-shirt. He wasn't naked.
Right.
He had just a simple linen cloth. He wasn't in his underwear, but he was in his sleeping garb, if you want to call that that. And it says that he took a towel and he wrapped the towel around him. And it says that he took a basin, he took a bowl, took a pitcher, and poured water in the basin. And now he takes that basin and he goes over to every single person. He puts it down at their feet. He'd have to kneel down. Almighty God, kneeling before these people. And he would put it, he'd pick up their feet, probably take off their sandals if they hadn't removed them, put them in. He would take his hands and rub them and remove the dirt that they had collected as they had come. And then he would take the towel that was around him, pick up each foot, and dry it tenderly, caringly, caressingly, showing his love and compassion for his disciples. Each and every one of them. Now notice it says disciples, not apostles. So often when we see a picture of the Last Supper, we only see 12. But you know what? It doesn't say just the apostles. It could have been more. Can you imagine doing that 12 times? Can you imagine how wet and dirty that cloth was that it was around our Lord and Savior? You see, he was willing to take the grime and grit of their world and place it upon himself because he cared, because he loved them, because he knew what he was about to do. And so He washes each one of their feet. And you know what? I think it, to us, it speaks about the fact that our Savior loves us. If you've believed in Jesus Christ, He is your Savior. And He loves you. He loves you enough that He is willing to come down and come right to where you're standing, to meet you right where you're at. And He's willing to take up that sin-stained heart, that sin-stained mind, and He's willing to take the Word of God, and He's willing to wash you with that Word so as to cleanse you. He's willing to take His Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the towel, the softness, and make you feel better. After all that dirt of the world has been clung to you. I don't know about you, but I've had quite a few instances where I've been outside all day and I've been working in dust and I've been sweating and I get the kind of cake look, you know, and you feel just grimy. And you say, and my wife says, "Don't you come in here with that. Go rinse yourself off in the hose." Lovingly, of course.
I'll send you to the hose.
But the idea being is that, you know, you need to, but you know, Jesus said He just came to them the way they were. And He starts washing each and every disciple's feet. But naturally, good old Peter has to say, "Not me! You can't wash my feet. No, I'm not going to let you do that." He didn't want to submit. He didn't want to humble himself. He thought he was better than that. He wanted to do something for Jesus. He didn't want Jesus doing something for him. And think about that now. Think about that application. How often do we not want Jesus to, "I can do it myself. I don't need His help." I mean, the world's really good at that. And many, many of us, even as Christians, are still good at that. "I'll do it myself. I'll figure our way out of this. I'll do this, I'll do that." And we are not willing to submit ourselves and say, "Lord Jesus, I have totally ruined this. My sin and my way has only created a greater disaster. The world has just been clinging to me, and that's the only way I can think. That's the only way I can get things done. Lord Jesus, forgive me for getting in the way. Lord, forgive me for allowing the world to cling to me. Lord Jesus, wash me." Notice what Peter says there when he says, "No, you can't wash me." And Jesus replied. Notice what it says there. "And so, then cometh Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now." In other words, you're not going to fully understand it, Peter. But anyhow, "but thou shalt know thereafter." Okay, so there's hope. We maybe fully understand what the Lord's going to do. "Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said, If I wash thee, thou hast no part of me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not only my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save wash his feet." Now see, washed and wash, they're not the same words. We see them as the same words in English because that's the best that they could do. But here's the idea, and here's how what the application will come in. He that has gone and taken a bath, when he returns home, only needs his feet to be cleaned. Because think about it. There's no running water at home. So they had public baths where people would go in and they would wash themselves in a rather large pool. And then when they were done, they would dry and clothe themselves and go home. And so, naturally, there weren't paved roads. There were dusty roads. You'd pick up dust on your feet. You'd come home and you'd need to wash your feet. And so it speaks to us about the fact that when we have believed in Jesus, when we have made Him home, what has He done? He washes us white as snow, right? We've been bathed in the blood of the Lamb. The problem is though, we're not in heaven yet. We haven't arrived at home yet. And so we now have to continue to traverse through this world and through all the situations in this world. And as we go through the world, we collect this dirt, these sins that so easily beset us, and they cling to us. And Jesus says, that's why I need to wash your feet. Oh, yeah, sure. You were saved by the blood of the Lamb. And yes, you've been washed clean. And yes, you have your place reserved in heaven. But as you're going along, you know what? You get some of that sticky crud on yourself, and we need to get that washed off. How does that apply? You and I are saved by the blood of the Lamb. We are redeemed. We are His children. But as we walk through this world, we fall into sin. And sin starts to cling to us, and it starts to hinder us, and it might cause an infection, or it might do something else. And so what do we need to do? We need to confess our sins. And He that is faithful and just shall forgive us our sins and wash us of all unrighteousness. So what happens is we're saved. But now we need to go and have our feet washed. We need to have our lives cleaned up. We need to confess our sins. We might honor the Lord Jesus and continue to be effective in the world that we live in. This is probably one of the most practical parables that Jesus ever spake. Only this one wasn't in words. It was done in action. It was a visual parable rather than a spoken parable. And because of that, we need to take even greater heart to it. Jesus is doing something unique. He wants us to show us how necessary it is to confess our sins one to another, to pray for one another when we do sin, that the righteous prayers of the prayer of a righteous man would avail much. You see, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed or bathed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he. And I want to bring this point to bear on us, that not only did Jesus cleanse his beloved disciples, but he was willing to wash the feet of a person that he knew at this point was his enemy. We don't see Judas. He hasn't left yet. That's coming. That's in the next paragraph. He's still there. And Jesus is willing to wash his feet. In the church, sometimes there are traitors amongst us. Hurtful people. Mean people. In the church. It is. Jesus warned us that there'll be wolves that appear in sheep's clothing. There'll be vultures in the tree. These are analogies that he makes. And so we need to be willing to say that as we go and we forgive, and as we are forgiven, we need to realize that sometimes we're going to even have to forgive those people that we think are unforgivable. Do you know how quick we are to jump to judge? Oh, that person is doing that. They shouldn't be in the church. That's not good for the church. Jesus says, wash their feet. Wash their feet. And so we need to continually seek the Lord Jesus to cleanse us, even of our stubborn attitude of not being willing to wash the feet, forgive those that have offended us, those that are working against us. Amen. You see, this is true love. And that means it's hard. Because there's nothing easy about love. We all want it. We don't want to give it. All right? Yeah, I want you to forgive. I want you to love me unconditionally. You want me to love you unconditionally? Look at that. You've got a condition. I can't love that condition. We are so, so in need of Jesus to wash our feet. If you've been saved, he doesn't need to give you a full bath. You've been washed in the blood. But we need him to wash our feet, to wash away the failures that have erupted in the last week, in the last month, in the last time we went to the confessional, I can remember as a Catholic, you're supposed to go to confession every week. And you'd go into the confessional and say, dear Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Quite often it would be 3 or 4 months since my last confession. That's a long time to hold on to that garbage. I'm sure glad now there is no mediator between God and man, but the man Christ Jesus, and I don't have to wait till I get into a confessional. I can simply go and say, Jesus, I blew it. Or Jesus, I got mad at my wife today. Or Jesus, I got mad at that person on the road today. Lord Jesus, I had that terribly wicked thought. Please forgive me. And he will wash our feet. What a relief. Kind of like my beloved hot shower. Oh. I'm so glad I live in the day and age that we do, that I can have a hot shower. And I can have it in privacy. I don't have to go to a public bath with everybody else. I don't have to do it with cold water. Brr. They say that's good for you, though. You know, that's a new thing, you know. You're supposed to go cold shower therapy. No. They can keep it.
Amen.
Psalm 103:12 reminds us, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And my favorite illustration of this is, as far as the east is from the west, the arms of Jesus stretched out, so far he hath he removed my transgressions from me. Jesus stretched out his arms to pay for my sin, and I have been forgiven and been cleansed. And I hope that you can see that. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. How in the world are we ever supposed to make progress in our spiritual lives? We will not be able to make progress in our spiritual lives until we're beginning willing to ask the Lord to cleanse us of our ways. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? But by taking heed, listening, following the advice that comes from the Word of God. If we truly want to be washed, if we want to have our feet cleansed of the filth and the dirt that the world has given us, it's going to be because we went to the Word. The Word shone its wonderful light on us and says, oh, there's a speck of dirt. Let's take care of that. And the Spirit of God comes upon us and he forgives our sins. He washes us white as snow. He separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. John 15:3 says, now you are clean through the word I have spoken to you. You see what I'm saying is, Jesus has left the word here to be the scouring pad, to be the cleansing fluid that is used to help us to stay clean in this world, to reflect his glory, to get the spots off the mirror so we can better reflect what he wants in our lives. This last week, our neighbor has had a big pile of brush and he decided to burn it. And he did a great job. Amazing. Here's this brush pile that would go from wall to wall and probably from here to where Mildred is, and burned down. And now all we have is a pile of dust about like this. Amazing transformation, right? I forgot where I was going with that one. Sorry about that. I'd be flawed. So it cleaned up the mess, right? And so through the Word, God wants to help clean up our mess. He wants to wash us with, and in fact, in Ephesians 5:25 and 26, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ, and the emphasis isn't on husbands and wives and all that, gave himself, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You want your feet washed? You want to come to that point that you're willing to ask God to forgive you and to be willing to confess your sins? You say, oh, I don't want to do that right now. That's too humbling. You need to get in the word. And the word will start removing that hindrance. It'll start shining on that dirt. It'll start cleaning up that mirror
so you can see. And the reason for that illustration, I come out the next day and here's my car and there's all this stuff. I didn't correlate it at the time, but just yesterday it dawned on me, oh, I know what all that stuff that was on my car. It was the ash that had come down. Just like when I was in Wailua in Hawaii, okay? They would go and they would burn the sugarcane fields, okay? You only think about sugar, well, sugarcane has lots of leaves, lots of big long leaves, they can cut you really bad. And so anyhow, but in order to minimize what they had to haul to process, they would burn the fields, and so we called it black snow, because it literally goes up, and then it comes down, and it comes down in big flakes. And I never checked to see if any two flakes were the same, but it doesn't matter. And so that's the idea, that he wants to cleanse us. He wants to remove those things that the world has sprinkled upon us. He wants us to be able to see that he is going to make us clean, but it's by the washing of water through the word. Why are we so emphatic this year about rightly dividing the word of truth? Because once we understand the word and the power of the word, it can help us wash our feet. It can help Jesus to wash our feet. It can help us to cleanse our ways. It can remind us that our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. Because what do? Oh, I can't confess that sin. I'm just going to fall into it again. So why bother confessing? I'm just going to do it. I'll just, put it all in the corner somewhere and hope it goes away. No. If we sin, when we sin, no matter how many times we sin, we need to believe that Jesus wants to wash our feet. He wants to cleanse it away. So, make it easy on yourself. Right then. Oh, Lord Jesus, I know this is the millionth time I've done this, but I'm going to ask you one more time, will you forgive my sins? Will you forgive that sin? Will you help me to overcome that sin? Wash my feet. And so we continue on with that parable, that visual parable that Jesus has given through the basin and the towel. And we're going to take a look at the next page if I can find it. That Jesus now uses this as an illustration of not just washing our feet, but there's another lesson to learn. Verses 12 through 17. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? So here Jesus, if you can imagine, he's taken that dirty wet towel off. He's put back on his formal garments. Okay, his outer garments, his tunic, and those things that he would actually be taken off of him, and it's crucified, because remember, this is the Passover meal, and so the next thing is going to be the cross. And his hour had come, and it was going to occur. And so that he now that he's done all that, he's put all that aside, and he says, now, time for us to talk about what I just did. Do you know what all this was all about? It's not just about washing your feet. There's something else that has to be taught in here. And that's the message of servanthood. The willingness, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter how good you are, that you're willing to meet the needs of someone else. So let's take a look at his words and let's see exactly what he said about this visual illustration. He says, you call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. Now, let me stop right there. In today's world, when I say master, what do you think? Come on.
Slave.
Slave. Okay. Slave-master relationship. Boss.
Yep.
Gotcha. You're under my control. But that's not really what the word means. It's more like a master mechanic. Okay. A master engineer. It's someone, it's the word is really didasco, teaching. So it's a master teacher. You call me master teacher or rabbi, Rabboni, right? Several people have referred to Jesus in that sense. He says, you call me master and Lord. Now there's the one for boss, okay? There's the one for the one that is over you. And you say, well, for so I am. Jesus isn't denying it now. He's been teaching these people for 3 years. Jesus has been directing their paths for 3 years. Jesus has sent them out on missions for 3 years. And yes, he has been directing them. And he says, okay, that's good. That's good. That's really the truth. If I, being your Lord and Master, have washed you disciples, you know, you people that I've been master over, you, the one who's been teaching you, the one who's been directing your paths, he says, if I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For if I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, it's hard. This is going to make you uncomfortable. It'd be one thing if I had literally followed through and taken off my shirt and put a towel around myself and taken a basin and said, okay, Bonnie, take off your shoes, take off your socks, let me wash your feet. That'd be one thing. But now what Jesus is saying, Bonnie, I want you to wash Joe's feet. Ew!
Hey, man.
And so there it is. And so here it is. Okay, we've looked at Jesus, and Jesus says, I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to cleanse you of the things of this world. And now Jesus is turning to Jossie, and he's saying, Jossie, I want you to be willing to forgive Joe for what he said yesterday. Not that they talked to you, right. The illustration, yeah. Right? You got that. Okay? Now he goes, I can't forgive him. Do you know what he called me? Do you know what he did to me? You know what he insinuated? You know what I thought about him? Nah. How in the world do we ever expect to reach this world if we're not willing to forgive one another? If we're not willing to get down and humble ourselves before our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to be willing to say, I forgive you. It takes work, doesn't it? Just like it takes work for me to get down on my knees, and not only that, but I'd have to go get some water, and I'd have to go get a towel, and then I'd have to be willing to put up with that aroma that usually comes with feet, right? And wash them. But that's the difficulty that we face. We must care for one another. We must be willing to forgive one another. We must be willing. How are we washed? Huh?
By the blood.
By the blood. But by the word. By the washing of water with the word, right? And so until we take the word and the blood and apply it to that sin, so that means, if I'm going to wash him by the water of his word, that means I'm going to have to take a chance and say, Jake, the word says, thou shalt not. How can I help you? I'm willing to forgive you for what you did wrong to me, but how can I help you? Oh,
yeah.
You mean I got to talk to him about the word? But I don't know the word. Oh, guess what you have to do then? You have to go learn. Do you see how this is a building process? Yeah. Do you see where this is not just to simply ask forgiveness, but this is a whole process. Jesus is giving his disciples a visual illustration of how we need to care for one another. In another chapter coming up, he's going to say, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples and that you have love one for another. How are you going to show that love? You're going to show that love by willing to wash their feet. You're going to show that love by willing to forgive their sins. You're going to show that love by willing to approach them with the word of God. This is what we need. Tell me it doesn't take work. Tell me you can do it in, no, let's see, 65 minutes on a Sunday. That's if I get done right now. Can't. It takes a lifetime. It takes contact. It takes continual stirring by the Holy Spirit to get to that point. That means we have a lot of work in front of us. We have a lot of work in front of us. My friends, I do not want to be the pastor of this church building. I want to be a shepherd that's guiding your hearts to a closer relationship with Jesus. And I can only do that if I'm willing and you're willing to allow me to go into your world and help you to see the word and how it can help cleanse you. And that means I'm going to say, ooh, that's your problem? I don't want to do it. We're going to have to be open and honest with each other, and we're going to have to be willing to forgive by the washing of the water with the word, by allowing him to work in us, to show us, to bring us to that point of forgiveness. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Jesus here is now making a reference back to God the Father and the fact that he's a messenger from God the Father, and that we are messengers of Jesus and therefore messengers of God the Father. And as the Father would want, we should do it. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You are not happy. You are not content because you know what? You're not willing to be washed. Oh, and you're not willing to wash. You're not willing to be forgiven. You're not willing to seek forgiveness. And you're not willing to forgive. Guaranteed. In the last 30 minutes that I've been speaking, that's all I've been speaking, I've offended somebody. And you're kind of going, wow, he didn't have any right to say that. Maybe it was in my illustration. Maybe it was in a word I chose. Somewhere, I offended somebody. But are you willing to come and say, Pastor, we need to talk about this? I hope that I'm at the point, oh, I see. I'm sorry. I did not mean to hurt your feelings. I will correct that behavior. Okay? And so here Jesus is saying, he says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Our happiness is dependent upon our willingness to be servants one to another. As long as we're trying to be Lord over people, we will never find happiness, because there will always be somebody bigger and better lording over us. We have one Savior. We have one mediator, and that's Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's what we need to lean on. Jesus has just illustrated a parable before them, an earthly action, a story with a spiritual or heavenly meaning. We need more than just to know this concept and agree with it. We must begin to implement it. Servanthood, in order to fulfill the command of Christ, in order to reflect the heart of our Savior. The example has been set. Are we ready to follow suit by working with and caring for those that are dirty and unlovely? Those that require work and sacrifice? The people who have made a difference in your life are not the ones with the most credentials, the most money, or the most awards. They are the ones that care. And if we begin to care and wash one another's feet, not physically, but figuratively, by offering and accepting forgiveness, then we will begin to live the true church life that's reflected in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, as I close. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It starts with washing the feet.